Sports Time Radio. All sports, all the time.
Time for the Tuesday edition of Sports Time Radio. I'm the Big Jack. With me is Dan the Man. If you'd like to call into the podcast, 646-478-3753 is the number to do that. If not, feel free to email us, sportstimeradio@hotmail.com. Anything else you need, head on over to sportstimeradio.com. Now, the blogs will go up on Wednesdays and Saturday mornings, so look for a new one of them tomorrow. Just continue to swing on over there, check out what's going on. But, of course, while you're at sportstimeradio.com, hit that link, get yourself over to the Sports Time Radio Facebook page. If you could like that while you're over there, well, we greatly appreciate that. There's also the Sports Time Radio Twitter feed, which is at Sports Time Radio. Dan and I are on Twitter as well. I am at Burke Time, and Dan the Man is at?
Dan the Man, by 3 years.
What, I catch you by surprise there? All right, well, if you followed Mr. Fantasy's format last night, you should have at least gotten your money back. If you ended up picking better pitchers than he gave us yesterday, you probably really cashed in, because that's what held his lineup back, was his pitching stunk. So he did send me two more lineups. There's minimal difference. He has a different pitcher and a different outfielder. So here we go. Here's what we got today. Lineup number one. Ooh. His pitcher is Jose Quintana of the White Sox, $8,700. Catching is Travis Dunnall, $2,500. Will Myers at first for $4,200. Josh Harrison at second for $3,000. Eugenio Suarez at third for $3,600. Zach Cozart at short for $3,000. And the outfield is Manuel Margot for $3,000, Matt Kemp for $3,900, and Hernan Perez for $2,900. Okay, that's lineup one. Lineup two works with James Paxton as the starting pitcher. And now this is all really similar here. Dinald is the catcher. Myers is at first. Harrison is at second. Suarez at third. Cozart at short. Then it's Margot and Kemp, but in this outfield, for $2,500, he's going with Michael Saunders. So those are the only differences in the lineup here. Again, you know, just a quick recap. It's Quintana and Paxton are his pitchers. His catcher tonight, he likes Travis Dunnall of the Mets. First base is Will Myers of the Padres. Second base is Josh Harrison of the Pirates. Third base is Eugenio Suarez of the Reds. Another Red at short in Zach Cozart. And then the outfield is Manuel Margot of the Padres, Matt Kemp of the Braves. Then one lineup features Hernan Perez of the Brewers, and the other one went with Michael Saunders of the Phillies. So there you go. Good luck. Hopefully he cashes for you again. I know, I believe he told me he won $8. I put his lineups in so I can keep track of the scoring, and I ended up winning $5.50 with it. So he did a little better than I did. I don't know what league he was in. But hopefully you cashed in with his advice. And all I got to say, Dan, is it's about time.
I should have played yesterday.
Yeah, because he went a he probably went a week and a half, almost 2 weeks, without cashing during the week. And, you know, you and I were joking about it yesterday. He keeps saying he doesn't have enough time to get his lineup down, but it must have worked out yesterday, and we'll see if he can continue it on today. Maybe he's tweaked his system a little, and he's figured out the error of his ways there. So we shall see what happens. But it would be nice to cash again using his lineup, so, because I'm sure he probably owes me anyways. So, yeah, we shall see. But, yeah, you know, it's good day to play. It's always a good day to play FanDuel, I'm sure. I know there's a couple free contests if you get on there in time, Dan. You might be able to jump in on. You know, I always send you the links to my freebies, and there was a freebie my experience level wouldn't allow me to get in. So maybe it's something you can get in. I think you're still a little behind me player wise. So maybe it's open to you.
I was able to get in to one earlier today, and I'm actually doing one in the mix-up where it's two pitchers and three utility players.
Yeah, you know, man, I've been playing that. You know, I've been getting those freebies for the mix-up, and I don't get it, man. I stink at that. I thought I would do really well because normally I do better with the smaller sample size like that. And I thought, man, picking five guys is right up my alley. Dan, I stink. I could barely get to 100 points in that league. I don't know what the hell I'm doing wrong. So I'm guessing it must be, you know, I'm using basically the same strategy I use in my daily one. So I'm guessing it doesn't work in the mix-up. I'm going to have to come up with another idea. Of course, you know, last night you had to have Jed Yorko in your lineup so he could hit two bombs for you like Mr. Fantasy did. I'm actually surprised he didn't go back there today, but he's got, you know, numbers and stats that tell him not to. So hopefully I'll do a little better with my free roll tonight. Oddly, I believe the two pitchers I took are the two pitchers Mr. Fantasy gave everybody. So that may be a really bad omen because normally when we're on the same track, guys stink. So So yeah, it may be the best thing for people to run away from those two pitchers. If you know everybody is picking them, that could be a rough night. But we'll see. And as always, you know, those are for the 6:05 main, which is going to get started here. You know, in what, about 25 minutes. And everybody was confirmed in the lineup except Will Myers, because obviously, you know, that game is starting a little later. So he's the only guy you got to worry about in Mr. Fantasy's lineup, but it would be a huge shock, I think, if Will Myers wasn't in the Padres starting lineup, wouldn't it?
Yeah. Because he's batting third tonight.
Oh, okay. Did the lineup come out? Well, that's good. So then you don't have to worry about anybody in the lineup then.
Yeah, and the freebie I got in says experienced players excluded.
Oh, okay. Could you get in or couldn't you?
No, that's why you couldn't do it. I guess they're doing free ones all month.
Oh, well, that stinks. I like playing the free ones, so... All right, Dan, I gotta get your opinion on this because, you know, this falls into you going to a lot more games than obviously I do or even Mr. Fantasy does. Oddly, you were just at this ballpark, just going to say it, incredibly stupid fans at Fenway Park last night. I don't know if they figured out who this people were or person was or if it was one or multiple, but obviously they're morons. You know, one guy or one person, I should say, because I don't think they ever decided what sex it was, threw a bag of peanuts at Adam Jones, which is kind of stupid because you wasted your money. And then apparently there was another group, and another group who decided to shout racial slurs at him. You know, you were just there. Did you hear any of that while you were there?
No, but, you know, I was sitting in the grandstand behind home plate.
Oddly, I didn't know this, but Boston apparently is known as one of the most racist cities in America. I was clueless until somebody pointed that out to me. But, you know, they're trying to figure out, you know, what can baseball do about this, Dan? Now, obviously the Red Sox have already said they're going to suspend this person for life. I doubt those things ever hold, because I don't know how you know with everybody coming and going, you know, who's who. It's not like you can just hang a picture up. So, you know, I doubt that actually works. But, you know, what are some of the options here? I mean, you got any good ideas for baseball?
You know, Adam Jones said throw $1,000 fines at him, hit him in the pocket where it hurts. I mean,
but yeah, you know, the only problem is how we can legally do that, yeah. You know.
I mean, for the guy who threw a bag of peanuts at him, if he was, you know, throwing the racial slurs at him, I think they could try to go after him for a hate crime.
Yeah, if you know, if it was the same guy or same person, I keep saying, I'm just assuming it's a man. I don't know why I'm just assuming that women can be just as racist. But
no,
yeah, I.
The guy who had hate in the park for throwing a bag of peanuts.
Oh, did they? I didn't hear that. Maybe it's in one of these articles here. There's about 15 of them. But you know, and obviously, it's not all the fans. You know, not every fan was doing this. It, you know, it just takes one select idiot. And, you know, that's apparently what they got last night. And it's very weird because, like, I'm hearing a lot of blame being placed on the Red Sox. And, I mean, it's not the Red Sox fault that this guy bought a ticket. You know, I mean, you can't know this about all your fans. I mean, there's no application to buy your ticket where it says, oh, hey, by the way, are you a racist idiot? You know, or are you stupid enough to yell racial slurs at a player during a game? You know, I mean, there's nothing you can really do about, you know, the people who buy your tickets, is there? I mean, even, you know, if the team doesn't, you know, do it, there's always that secondary market. And, I mean, you can't really control who's coming in and out of your ballpark, right?
Not completely. But, I mean, it's just that becomes a thing for the ushers to be looking out for, I guess. You know, listening for.
Yeah. Yeah, you know, except the tough part with that is aren't most of those ushers about 90 years old?
Yeah, but you'd be surprised. I mean, you go to the Cubs game and they're like hawks. If you try sneaking down to a section, you get, by the time you sit down, they're already there telling you to leave. They know you don't belong. And not only that, I mean, they can also incorporate the, you know, the text or the tweet where you're able to text your tweet security and, you know, tell the issue. So it's almost anonymous, you know?
Yeah.
I guess you wouldn't want to tweet it. I guess you're better off texting it.
I mean, obviously, there needs to be a way to better handle this. I mean, obviously, you know, it's a difficult situation, and you know, it kind of sucks for Adam Jones. I mean, you know, I was wondering. I saw the highlight. I wasn't paying much attention. I was eating breakfast while I had it on, and I saw the highlight where he made a really nice catch, and I couldn't figure out what he was yelling about, and then they kind of, you know, they kind of went into detail, and I was like, oh, geez. You know, it's like, let's taint things a little more, you idiots. Uh-oh.
Well, then he even said, you know, he kind of made a joke about it, going, oh, they were probably just mad because I didn't throw the ball.
Yeah. You know, the sad part is that wouldn't surprise me, you know, in some places. It really wouldn't. You know, just the fact that they didn't get the ball, set them off, or, you know, who knows? I mean, it may have been too many adult beverages. I mean, you know, there's a lot of, you know, a lot of issues that could have came up with it. I mean, just the bottom line is the fact that it just sucks. You know, and it sucks for everybody who, you know, enjoys baseball or goes to games or, you know, however you look at it. because, you know, it's just going to come down on the next group. You know, it's just going to be that much bigger, you know, when they start enforcing tougher and tougher rules. You know, this person probably isn't even going to be around to buy a ticket. But yet it's going to be because of them that, you know, all this stuff is going on.
Yeah, but I mean, I think, you know, the announcements in between innings, before the game, putting it subject to when you're buying your ticket online, knowing, you know, that if that's the route you're going to take, you're, you know, not even directed at the players, but using profanity, you know, racial slurs, that you're just going to be immediately removed from the park.
Yeah, it, you know, it's definitely, you know, definitely something that needs to be, you know, handled better, handled somehow, one way or the other. They've just got to work it out.
In a, you know, half serious, half joking kind of thing, I mean, why not get these people that do it and make them wear a sign? You want to come back into the game? Well, you've got to stand at gate A, you know, with a sign kind of like Bruce Willis did in I Heard with a Vengeance. But only it says,
yeah,
you know, I called Adam Jones this.
Yeah, I wouldn't be against that.
You know, a shaming of sorts.
You know, yeah, just to see, you know, if it, you know, again, I don't know if it would have any effect on, you know, some of these goofs. You know, you just wonder, you know, how they are or any, you know, any of that stuff. But we'll have to see if they, you know, what they come up with, or if they come up with something, you know, hopefully it's, you know, something, you know, workable, something, you know, that makes sense, or any, you know, anything like that. But yeah, you know, it's just such a crappy situation, you know, to have it happen like that. And, oh well, it's just time to find something else to talk about. I did see we're getting some of the bigger name guys are coming back. I see Zach Britton got activated off the DL, and so did Miggy. So we're getting some of the guys back. You know, I know we talked about the games. All the games are, you know, they started at night. We got a couple starting in a few 6:05 games. We got the Blue Jays at the Yankees, the Diamondbacks at the Nationals, the Orioles at the Red Sox. That's a MLB Network game, Dan, if you wanted to sit on your couch and watch that. The Indians at the Tigers, the Pirates at the Reds, the Rays at the Marlins, the Mets at the Braves, the Phillies at the Cubs, the A's at the Twins, the Rangers at the Astros, the White Sox at the Royals, the Brewers at the Cardinals, the Angels at the Mariners, the Giants at the Dodgers, and the Rockies at the Padres. So it's a quite the full rundown today, and everything at night. So you'll be able to bounce around and catch all the games. I did find it interesting that Matt Latos is starting for the Blue Jays tonight. You know, he was good for the White Sox for about four starts last year, and then he just stunk. I didn't even really realize he was in somebody's rotation. So, but, you know, we got some good matchups tonight. You know, some good matchups tonight. Chris Sale's pitching. I realized he was 1-2, but I didn't realize his ERA is like a 1.19. So it might be interesting. You know, he obviously should be 3-0. The Red Sox can't score for him. But we got Corey Kluber against Justin Verlander. Are you interested in that matchup?
This would be a pretty good one.
So, you know, and I know, you know, it's Giants and Dodgers, but the pitching matchup is Matt Moore against Alex Wood. So it's not the, you know, kind of, not, you know, shootout we were, you know, kind of hoping for, the name value we were kind of hoping for when it comes to, you know, Giants-Dodgers. Of course, with Bumgarner hurt and, you know, the Dodgers really, you know, only have Kershaw, you know, it's tough to get a whole bunch of name value there. But I know, you know, Cueto out-dueled him last night. You know, the Giants got that 4-3 win. Obviously, you know, the game started way too late for me. I don't know, did you manage to catch any of it before you sacked out?
No.
So, yeah, you know, and the starters gave up all the runs. The bullpens were really good. And, you know, and oddly, Kershaw gave up a couple home runs. Pence hit one and Buster Posey hit one. You know, I know occasionally he's susceptible to the home run, but not very often. So, you know, but, you know, it's always fun to see the Giants and the Dodgers play, even though the Giants have been off to a rough start. It's just kind of that name value, but you know, of course, anytime Kershaw pitches, that's a big plus too, isn't it?
Oh yeah, too bad Madbaum is on the DL. Otherwise, I'm sure he would have hit the home run too.
Yeah, you know, he'd probably hit two the way that works out. You know, just how those how those things go for him. So, you know, we'll have to. Have to see, but I did see something kind of interesting with the Dodgers. You know, Cody Bellinger came up and he's really been hitting. Let me see if I can find his numbers here. They got him at 320 since his promotion, but they're staying with some of these guys ready to return. They got Franklin Gutierrez coming off the DL, and then Jock Peterson is ready to come back. They're saying Bellinger's the guy who's going to go back down. Are you a little surprised by that he would kind of get shipped off?
No, I mean, that just means they want to give him the playing time as opposed to riding the bench.
Yeah, I just, you know, I was kind of thinking maybe he did the, you know, the Kyle Schwarber thing where he played well enough to stay. You know, because, I mean, his defense hasn't been terrible. So, you know, I was just kind of like, maybe he'll stick around and, you know, get to play every day and we'll finally get to see him. I mean, sooner or later, they got to make room for this damn guy, don't they? I mean, especially if he's going to hit.
Yeah, but you remember it comes down to the options, too.
Yeah, I know. There's all that stuff you got to finagle in with that, but that was just kind of disappointing. But, you know, I did hear a cool rumor, Dan. How do you think this would fit with a team here? You know, we saw Adam Eaton go down with the ACL. He's done here. The rumor is, and especially with the team struggling, that the Nationals may contact the Royals about Lorenzo Cain. You know, Cain is in the last year of his deal, so he could really be a rent-a-player type guy. You know, Eaton is under contract for a few more years. You know, I guess the question would be, do the Nationals have the pieces, or would they be willing to give up the pieces to get a guy like Cain? But what do you think about a fit like that? I mean, is it almost too perfect?
A little too perfect, but I mean, I was reading an article earlier today. Let's face it, the Royals are done.
Yeah, you know, it's kind of looking like that window's closed, doesn't it? You know, I mean, they kind of had that magical run there for a few years, and, you know, they're 8-16 off to just, I think they're off to the worst start in baseball, aren't they? Let me double-check the standings here. Yeah, they're, them and the do the Blue Jays are the only teams that don't have 10 wins yet. You know, Kansas City has 8, Toronto has 9. It makes you wonder because, you know, obviously Kane is a free agent. I believe Mike Moustakas is a free agent. And I know Eric Hosmer is close. You know, is it time to deal? You think, and they kind of go through the cycle with Kansas City here, or, you know, I mean, obviously there's still some talent there. Can they bounce back?
I don't think they have a choice at this point. I mean, their first pitching is pretty much done and gone. You know, like you said, all their grown talent is going to be up. Their contracts are going to be up with them, you know, this next year and the year after.
Yeah, and obviously, you know, losing Yordano Ventura like they did didn't help. You know, that was a big blow to that, you know, that pitching staff. I don't know. So you think they, you know, they sell off, you know, maybe they sell off Kane and Moustakas this year while they're in that last year and kind of go, you know, kind of set the rebuild route?
Like I said, I don't think they have a choice.
Well, you know, I mean, they always have a choice. They could actually try to hold on to him and try to re-sign him, but, you know, I just don't know if that's the, you know, the best way. But, you know, they had, I almost forgot his name, Mondesi, that, you know, they had Junior, Raul Mondesi Jr. up to start the year. And, you know, he's supposed to be, again, you know, he's another one of the, I don't know, chosen ones, whatever you want to call them. And, man, did he scuffle. You know, so they shipped him off to get some regular playing time. Now, you know, they're looking at this. I gotta always look at his name because I always want to call him Emilio. But now they got Jorge Bonifacio up. You know, he's off to a good start. You know, he's another top prospect. But you know, I mean, are we gonna go through this cycle where, you know, the Royals are bad for 10, 15, 20 years again, or do you think they can kind of turn it around quicker?
I don't, you know, being a small market and the fact that they can't really, you know, it's not all about the rebuild. It's all about, you know, all these draft picks. And you and I both know that if it were just draft picks, the Cubs wouldn't have won the World Series. You got to have those big signings. And I mean, you know, Johnny Cueto was one of their big signings that they landed, and they won the World Series, and he left. I mean, Zobrist was there, too. Not that I would put him as a big signing, but, I mean, the money he allotted following that World Series, they couldn't have pulled out. They couldn't have held on to him. I mean, they couldn't hold on to Zach Greinke.
Yeah, no, well, you know, I mean, they've done a little better job as of late. You know, I mean, they were able to ink Alex Gordon. You know, that Sal Perez signed a really team-friendly deal. I don't think there's any way they could keep Kane, Moustakas, and Hosmer. I don't even know if they could keep two out of the three. I think really, it's legitimately, you have to pick one and the other two have to go, don't you?
Yeah. You know, and it sucks because they, I mean, it's a great park down there. They've got a great fan base, but and I think that side of Kansas City is, you know, where St. Louis is a baseball town, I think they're a Chiefs town, you know.
Yeah, you know, like I said, I just don't want to see them be bad again for however many seasons it ends up being. It was kind of nice to have them solid as a contender, but it seems as though it was kind of the pitching that let them down, I guess, more or less. Like you mentioned Cueto leaving, you know, obviously they couldn't sign him. He was there for, you know, exactly what he was there for, to win the World Series, and then they knew he was moving on. But, you know, they gave Pollock. Ian Kennedy quite a bit of money. That was a little bit of a surprise. You know, and I mean, they brought in Jason Hammel at the last minute after, you know, Ventura passed away. You know, they needed the guy to fill the spot there. But, you know, they're finally getting something out of Jason Vargas. You know, I don't know if that'll continue. And, you know, they did develop Danny Duffy. But, yeah, I it's not exactly, you know, when you're talking staff, I mean, that's not exactly going to blow teams away, right? I mean, with those names coming out.
No, I mean, like you said, they gave the money to Ian Kennedy, but I don't think he's turning out to be what they thought. They lost their closer to the Cubs.
Well, they traded, you know, yeah, so.
Yeah, but either way, they lost them.
And well, you know, at least when you trade them, you get something back in return. You know, when they just go away as a free agent, you get the draft pick. So.
Yeah, but they got a guy who got hurt.
Yeah, but he's on his rehab assignment. I just saw they sent him on his rehab. Actually, you know, Kennedy's off to a pretty good start in 5 starts. He is 0-2, but he's got a 2.30 ERA, so he must be pitching decently. It seems that Vargas is the only starter winning games. He's 4-1. Duffy is 2-1. You know, they've only got 8 wins, and Duffy and Vargas have 6 of them. So it's not like they're, you know, going to be falling off trees or anything. So, yeah, I don't know. I don't think they're a 100-loss team, though. Do you?
No. It's only 8-0.
So.
I mean, the White Sox are first sleeper.
No. It's just May now, remember?
Oh, yeah.
So you got to go to the next rung there. So we'll have to see. But all right. Moving on here, Dan. I see that your favorite NHL team finally found a way to beat the Penguins.
Yeah, but only because Patrick Crosby got injured.
Yeah, all they had to do was concuss Sidney Crosby. He's already been ruled out for Game 4. So my guess is the Penguins probably win that one too. Even without Crosby, it still was a pretty close game. It was 3-2 in overtime. So it still did end up pretty good, pretty tight. You know, I know, and I'm drawing a blank on the guy who hit him. You know, I know he got a 5-minute major and he was ejected from the game.
Wow.
But the NHL has come out and said that there will be no further actions. So Matt Niskanen is the name. You know, and to be fair, I know it sucks because Crosby's out. But when you see the highlight, I really think the big reason the guy ended up whacking him in the head is because Crosby goes down to his knees. So, you know, if Crosby's standing straight up, he's going to take it probably in the chest or, you know, the side and the shoulder area. Either way, it's going to be a big hit. But, yeah, the fact that he went down, I think, really contributed to it. And I was wrong. He received a 10-minute misconduct and was ejected from the game. I said 5. So, you know, maybe the NHL's doing the right thing here by not suspending this guy when you kind of – I mean, have you seen the highlight yet?
No, I'll have to go in and tune into that. I mean, I was watching some of the game yesterday.
Yeah, because I don't think – it was intentional, I guess, would be the best way to kind of throw it out there. I don't think this guy was looking to take Crosby out. It just kind of led to that situation. And, you know, it's too bad because, you know, Crosby has had concussion issues before. I think I saw where he's missed. It was like 94 or 97 career games because of concussion issues. So hopefully it's just a one-game thing and he's back for Game 5. But, yeah, it could, that obviously could really turn the series. And like I said, Washington got their, you know, their first win 3-2 last night. So the Penguins are up 2-1. And, I want to see if they're playing tomorrow or if they – the, I know sometimes NHL takes the extra day. No, they are playing tomorrow, so it's the quick turnaround. So yeah, he's out for game four, and then game five rolls around. He will have the extra day there. They're not playing again until Saturday for game five, because they're prime time on NBC Saturday night. So we'll have to see if maybe he's ready to return then.
How many days is that? Is that five?
Well, you figure we've got Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. Yeah, it's four, and then basically all day Saturday. So almost five, probably, but yeah, almost five full days. So hopefully he can bounce back. Now, you know, tonight, Dan, we've got the Ottawa Senators are at the New York Rangers. Now the Senators lead the series 2-0. Obviously game three tonight in New York. And then we got the St. Louis Blues at the Nashville Predators. The Predators are up 2-1 in that series. Are the Rangers going to defend at home here? You think they'll get a win here at least in one of these two home games?
I don't know.
You know, it's weird. I haven't seen a whole lot of this series. I haven't really, you know, with, you know, it's kind of, you know, I've been so caught up with Pittsburgh and Washington that I haven't seen a lot. I'm going to see if I can pull up and see what they got here. Oh yeah, that's right. The second game was the high scoring 6-5 game that went into two overtimes. So that was kind of interesting. And game one was a little more settled down. Ottawa won 2-1. But yeah, I figure, you know, New York's probably got to win at least one home game before, you know, they would get knocked out. But they were a pretty solid regular season team. Maybe they can come back. It's just, I don't know. The NHL playoffs are so tough to call. I just, you know, a lot of times it's just kind of like, man, I just don't know.
Yeah, that, and I mean, it's just hard to keep up with all of them. And, you know, the New York teams have been teams I really haven't kept up with, I guess, so to speak.
Yeah. But, yeah, and that, do you think you got the Preds jumping up 3-1? Can they jump on St. Louis again and get take a huge advantage in that series?
I'm going with the Preds. I mean, let's be honest, they've been kind of more or less the hot team in this playoff.
Yeah, I did hear somebody mention, I wish, again, I don't remember which hockey thing I had on, but they were saying the Preds right now as the hot team should be the favorite to win the cup. I was like, holy crap. So
I'll be honest. I mean, I'm not going to argue with that. I really think they have what it takes, which, you know, because my dad and I were talking about this last year. Last week or a couple of weeks ago, I was over there, and you know the Hawks were playing, and just kind of like, what the hell's going on with this team? And I'm like, you know, last year, for the other way around, Pecorini, even in the beginning of the season, I felt like Pecorini didn't have his stuff together, and then all of a sudden, this guy has just, you know, turned into back into his like prime form as he was 2 seasons ago. Because you remember 2 years ago, Greeny was like lights out. You couldn't get anything past him.
Yeah, well, you know, and that's what it takes in, you know, the playoffs. You know, you run into that hot goaltender, and, you know, it can be big trouble for a team. And, you know, right now, Greeny's been that guy. You know, it'll be interesting to see if he can keep it rolling. You know, they did just suffer their first playoff loss. So, you know, it will be interesting, but both games tonight on NBC Sports Network, actually the Rangers and the Senators should have already started. And then they have the Blues in Nashville at it's a 8:30 start for you and I here. So we'll have to see. But yeah, it should be interesting. Now I did see Dan, the NHL announced their three finalists for the Hart Trophy, which is basically their version of the NHL or the MVP, excuse me. You know, the NHL has all the different names for the trophies. And the three nominees, now Patrick Kane won this award last year. This year it's Sidney Crosby, of course, no surprise there. He, I believe he led the league in goals this season, so it's no surprise he's up there. Sergei Bobrovsky, the goaltender for the Columbus Blue Jackets, made the list. And Connor McDavid from the Edmonton Oilers is the third guy to make it. So it'll be interesting. And the article I'm reading here, this is by Craig, I'm going to say his last name is Kustens. He mentioned he's voting for McDavid, who did win the scoring title. He posted 100 points, 30 goals, and 70 assists. So, wow. You know, and it is the first time in 11 years that Edmonton has made the playoffs. So,
really?
You know, it's interesting. Yeah. It's an interesting race because obviously, you know, Crosby is great. And I don't think, you know, Columbus wouldn't have done as well if Bobrovsky hadn't played well all season. So it's three really good candidates. I could understand why, you know, any guy would get votes. So it may be interesting to see how that kind of shakes out. I know they have their own little awards banquet and stuff for, you know, hockey at the end of the year. And, you know, but that's, yeah, that's pretty interesting that, you know, those were the three guys, you know. I'm not used to a goaltender getting there, so I think that's a little weird for me.
Well, that's, you know, that kind of surprised me. But then that obviously raises my question. They don't have, like, a goaltender award? So that's
yeah,
three?
They do. Yeah, they actually have one. I want to say it's – I thought it was called the Vezina, but I'm not quite –
Well, this is almost like a pitcher becoming the MVP.
Yeah, it's very, very similar, except obviously, you know, goaltenders play a lot more than what a pitch. Yeah, it's the Vezina Trophy is awarded to the league's top goaltender. So that's how, yeah, they have some interesting ones. They have the Lady Bing Trophy, Dan. That's awarded to the player who exhibited outstanding sportsmanship and gentlemanly conduct combined with a high standard of playing ability. The Calder Trophy is the Rookie of the Year. So, you know, that's their version of that. They have the Art Ross Trophy goes to the player who scored the most points. The Norris Trophy goes to the top defenseman, you know, and then there's the individual awards in the playoffs, I believe. Yeah, it's the Conn Smythe Trophy is the most valuable player in the playoffs. And, you know, there's obviously, you know, just a ton of different stuff. They actually hand out an award for the forward who shows the best defensive skills called the Selke Trophy. The only one that doesn't have a name is they actually just have one called the NHL Plus Minus Award. Otherwise, they all have kind of funky names. So, yeah, you know, just all, yeah, all of a sudden it's like pops up on the list, their NHL Plus Minus Award. Okay, great. So, there's quite a little list of them there for you to, you know, check out if anybody's interested in that or, you know, if you think
is that an NHL hockey writers vote upon or?
Yeah, I believe that, you know, cause like I was reading an article written by an NHL writer. So I'm assuming that's how the voting is handled. It didn't exactly say, you know, how it was done, but that would be my guess here. I'm looking to see if we have a, oh no, that wasn't the one I was looking at. So, They have travel packages to go to these things, and the one that came up is to go to the expansion draft. I don't know if you'd want to go to the expansion draft, would you?
I mean, that will be interesting. Are they holding it in Vegas? I guess I haven't really looked into that, but I thought there was plans to add another team, or is it just going to be one extra team?
They're going to start with just Las Vegas, but yeah, they are supposed to add another one, you know, soon. I thought it was in a year or two. They're supposed to add another team, but I don't think they've said where yet, have they?
Not the Hartford Whalers, I don't care.
You know, that was actually, yeah, that was one of the places mentioned. Yeah, they've got it here. It will be conducted by the National Hockey League on June 18th through the 20th. And team selections will be announced on June 21st during the NHL Awards at the T-Mobile Center. So, yeah, they're going to do the awards and announce the Golden Knights roster on the same night there.
That'll be interesting to see who they're able to actually land.
So, yeah, but, you know, there's been a lot of talk and a lot of predictions on who, you know, who might end up on that team. So, yeah, it's definitely going to be, you know, going to be fun to see how it plays out and see who, you know, who ends up getting swung over there. And, you know, just locally here, if, you know, any of the Blackhawks end up going.
Oh, I mean, former Blackhawks are on every team.
Well, I mean, you know, the guys off, you know, if they'll lose, you know, if they'll lose any of the guys off the current roster.
Yeah.
So,
I'm sure they will.
You know, because, yeah, you know, and I know, obviously, you know, we're not going to see, you know, none of the big names are going to go, you know, like Alex Ovechkin isn't going to be playing in Las Vegas next year. Oh, and just so you know, Dan, the Rangers already scored. They're up 1-0. Nothing like that'll happen. You know, I mean, like Kane and Taze aren't going to Vegas or, you know, anything like that. But there, you know, there should still be some, you know, some quality hockey players that get moved in this. And, you know, I won't be surprised if one of the big time goaltenders ends up going, because they always seem to be the guys who go in these things.
Well, you've got to wonder with the Blackhawks, obviously they traded away Scott Darling. So, you know, some hometowners were a little upset by that, of course. If you're the Blackhawks, do you just not sign or look for a goalie until after the expansion draft?
Yeah, you know, I think most teams are kind of in that spot where you've just got to kind of wait and see who goes. You know, I mean, because obviously, you know, if you have a glut of forwards and then all of a sudden you lose a couple of them, you know, maybe you need one. You know, so you might, that'll probably change a lot of the team's directions come, you know, free agency or, you know, even in their, you know, minor league camps on what they're looking for. So, yeah, I think a lot of them will just be on hold, you know, until they do the draft and, you know, everybody knows who's still on their roster and who's not. But it will be interesting. I wonder if we'll get leaks, you know, and like the rosters will be set and then, you know, the information will start to leak out like it always seems to do. And, you know, we'll start finding out who went before the NHL announces it.
The draft isn't going to be like televised or.
No, the way it sounds like they're going to do it is they're going to do it from the 18th to the 20th. And then they're going to announce the results on the 21st at the award ceremony.
Oh, Well, that's interesting.
Yeah, that's what I thought too. I thought that's kind of,
I mean,
different.
I know,
like,
the NHL,
you know?
I know the NHL is not obviously the NFL, but you would think with something like that, that would be something they would want to put on, you know, the one of the NBC networks, or just kind of have coverage for it. Especially with it being Vegas.
Yeah, you know,
I mean,
and maybe, you know, it possibly will be. It just didn't look like the way they had it set up there that it was going to be. But, it, you know, maybe it is. There was just no advertisement when I you know, when I saw it there. But they are offering travel packages to go watch it. So you would think if they're going to go, you know, if they're going to do that, they would televise it. You know, even if it's just on the NHL network. So, who knows, but... All right, Dan, we have a few more NBA second-round matchups rolling on tonight. You know, we'll get to see the Warriors in action. Their series opens. We start off, we have the Wizards at the Celtics for Game 2. Surprisingly, the Celtics won Game 1 pretty handily. I was a little surprised. I thought the Wizards would put up more of a battle, so we'll see if they can bounce back. But I was kind of curious about what you made of, you know, I guess we could call it complaining. The Warriors kind of saying they wish the Clippers would have won the series because there's more stuff to do in L.A. on their off days instead of Utah.
Well, I mean, they could visit the Memorial Karl Malone statue, right? Don't they have one there?
Yeah, well, I'm sure they'll see that when they're walking into the stadium, right? You know,
yeah.
So, you know, it's weird because I'm sure there's plenty of things to do in Utah. It's just not L.A. I mean, it's, you know, it's different.
Well, I mean, isn't that what the off season's for?
Yeah, you know, that was the other thing that kind of threw me is, you know, like, if I'm the coach of the team, I don't know if I want my guys talking about what they're doing on the off day while game one is right across the, you know, right around the corner here. So, yeah, I mean, I don't know how that, you know, how that kind of makes you feel, but, yeah, I was kind of like, wait, shouldn't we be worried about game one and two first?
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. Are they looking to go see, you know, tours of the Hollywood homes and crap like that? But I don't know if you caught wind of this story. It's actually kind of an old story. I did about a month ago, and it was called the Tinderization of the NBA. And I don't know if you know what Tinder is. It's like the hookup app. Where you
just
hook up with you. Yeah. Well, obviously, you know, the professional NBA guys and such aren't on that app. They have a, I guess like a blacklist from, you know, for them. And the people, you have to get invited to be a part of this. And they're saying, as opposed to the old days where, you know, players would, you know, go to the, you know, finish their game, leave the arena at 11 o'clock at night and party till 5, that a lot of the guys are just going on Tinder and, you know, having someone come to the room, taking care of business, and then going to sleep for the night.
Yeah, maybe that's why they wanted the game. So, yeah, you would say, you know, I mean, that's kind of, you know, my thing is, yeah, I would think, you know, you would, you know, okay, I would probably laugh this off a little more if it was just the regular season. And I mean, it was kind of a, you know, basically a meaningless game, because let's face it, the regular season is pretty meaningless. But yeah, I mean, you know, it's weird because, you know, we're talking, you know, you got to get through game one and you got to get the game, you know, through game two. And I get it, you know, Utah's not exactly a huge threat to the team like the Warriors, and You know, and I mean, I guess you got to take it with a grain of salt because one of the comments came from Matt Barnes, and he's basically a tool when you think about it. You know, I mean, that sounds like something he would say, and I was just kind of like, okay, great. But, yeah, it's like I don't think I want the extra distraction this time of year, I guess you'd look at it. I mean, it's bad enough that your coach is already out. You know, and more it's looking like he may not be back. So, you know, it's just like, okay, maybe we could concentrate on playing basketball. I mean, you know, who really cares what you're doing on your off day? I mean, you know, I mean, you could go to Park City. I mean, that's not that far from Salt Lake. It's a, you know, pretty happening ski place from what I've heard. You know, obviously I've never been there. You know, if they had a baseball team, Dan could go and tell you what it was all about. But, you know, that's just kind of one of the negatives there. So,
but, you know, I mean, to be half smart ass, half not, you're worried about what to do in L.A. as opposed to Utah. You were the defending who lost last year. And you should be... That should be your main goal. Going partying it up, you know?
Yeah, you know, that's kind of how I looked at it. You know, and then it was weird because, you know, especially a guy like Matt Barnes, who this is really a gift to. I mean, let's face it. You know, he's got a shot at getting a championship ring when in reality he should probably be out of the NBA at this point. You know, I mean, it's not like he has a fantastic role or anything. You know, he just kind of, you know, right place, right time.
He already played and lived in L.A.
Yeah. I think on two occasions, I think he had two tours with the Clippers. So, you know, it's not like, I mean, he's been with so many different teams that, you know, he should know the good spots even in Utah. So it was just kind of, you know, it just didn't seem like it was what they should have been focusing on, I guess, is the way I was kind of looking at it. And, you know, maybe I'm reading too much into it and it was just something that was more jokingly said and ended up getting taken more serious than it should have been. But now, and it's like, okay, great. So I don't know, just kind of goofy. So, I did want to know, I know we're getting close to running out of time here for the podcast, but I'm wondering how you're going to celebrate if David Ross wins Dancing with the Stars, because I think I heard he moved on again.
Oh, God.
You know, I know I saw they for at Wrigley during the rain delay last night. Oh, see, Dan gets saved by the music. He doesn't have to. Dan gets saved by the music, so he doesn't have to talk about David Ross's dancing. But maybe we'll bring it up tomorrow, and Dan can give you his opinion. But we're going to get out of here for today. You know the deal while we're gone. SportsTimeRadio.com. Check out what's going on over there. Look for the new blog tomorrow morning. Link over to the Facebook page. Give that a like. The Twitter feed at SportsTimeRadio. Jump over. Check that out. You can find Dan and I on Twitter as well if you need us there. As always, a big thanks for listening live. And don't forget, you can get the podcast anytime you want now at TuneIn.com.